Liberty News, taking the lock on the shackles of tyranny.
Machines are going to fail, and the system's going to fail.
The past is past, the future's now.
Don't look at me. I think these people are completely nuts.
Sometimes trouble just follows a man.
There is another organism on this planet that follows the same pattern. Do you know what it is? A virus.
Can't you stop your lips from flapping for 2 minutes?
Because I'm white. I'm a man. I'm sensitive. I need to feel loved. I need to be desired.
Yeah, I'm rapidly becoming a big underground succession.
That's a question of methods. Everybody wants results, but nobody wants to do what they have to do to get them done.
And now, coming to you live from Kalispell, Montana, brought to you by Northwest Liberty News, it's Montana Gazette Radio with your host, James White. Okay, so I'm indeed your host, James White, and this is Montana Gazette Radio. Thanks so much for joining us here on this 11th day of June 2021. And if you can believe it, we're almost halfway through the year. Things go by fast, folks, especially when you get older like me. Things go by seemingly very fast. But we're delighted to be with you today on the broadcast, coming to you live from Kalispell, Montana. Some big changes are going to be happening here pretty soon with the radio station. We're going to move into AM and FM, and we'll be making all those announcements and everything here coming up shortly. But in the meantime, we wanted to have one of our favorite and probably most interviewed guests come back on the broadcast, Commissioner Randy Panucci, who's a Montana Public Service Commissioner. I believe it's District 2. He's been here numerous times on the broadcast. I think we've done some fantastic shows together. I mean, over the past, I don't know, probably, Jesus, it's been a year, maybe 18 months. We've done a lot of great shows together, and it's always great to have him here on the broadcast and get his insights. We're going to cover today specifically some of the misinformation that's been going around. We got some documents that we're going to show here. We got some hopefully we have a couple of other people maybe calling in. We put the Zoom link out to a couple of the folks. So we're going to have a really good show here today, and we're going to have phone calls come in. And the call-in line is 515-602-9736. Mark that down. We're not ready to take calls just yet, but when you do want to call in, if you do want to call in, use that number. So without further delay, we are going to bring Commissioner Randy Panucci on the line. Let me unmute his microphone and welcome him to the show. Commissioner Randy Panucci, thanks so much for being here on the broadcast. Always great to have you here, my friend.
Jim, great to be here. Good to see you today.
That's good to see you, too. Good to see you, too. You know, we got a little bit of a, not totally, but, you of course, you know, Randy, the campaigning starts, what, a year, pretty much almost, at least 9 months before the actual primaries. And then you've got after the primaries, then you have the general election. Then you've got the time in the legislature. And now it's just ended here about a month or so ago. People are kind of winding down, but that doesn't mean that there's not still news going on and things in Montana that need to be pointed out and need to be highlighted. Let's start there, Commissioner. What right now is, I know we're going to talk about the letter, we're going to bring up the letter here and a couple other things in a minute, but right now, what is first and foremost on your radar, you know, as again, that's when a lot of the shenanigans happen, when the eyes of the media and the eyes of the public are not on the legislature. Some of the off-season stuff, the backroom stuff goes on. What's your thoughts about where we stand right now in Montana? How the legislative session go? Were you happy with it? And what are we going to talk about here today, Commissioner Panucci?
I'd rate the legislature at about a C+ or a B-. We could have gotten much better legislation through. I'm disappointed that Greg Gianforte wasn't spearheading closed primaries or trying to take a stand against ballot harvesting. Now, we did do some good things with abortion. We've got where you required an ID to vote. I think that was a good thing to make happen. But I don't think we lowered taxes as much as we could have, especially property taxes. I think we failed there. We were unsuccessful in stopping a tax to be added to your energy bill to give to Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. That's crazy. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has enough money. I tried to stop that. My retired senior citizens don't want to be given money to Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and they passed the bill again. And we got, again, rhinos voting with the Democrats. So we're going to have to target those rhinos and get rid of them in this next primary. And we're going to get to work on some of those rhinos. I think Geraldine Custer's in real trouble. They're going to focus attention on her along with others. So we could have done a much better job. Keep in mind, the federal government gave us $1 billion in relief, and we didn't really cut taxes. So, folks, really what happened was Montana was given $1 billion and really didn't cut your taxes. And how are we going to pay for that? That's not free money. The country went deeper in debt, and your federal taxes are responsible to pay for that. Don't think that was free money when that COVID money came in for relief. That's not free, folks.
Well, gas $3 a gallon, everything going up at the grocery store, meat out of price, out of hand. Lumber, a stack of lumber is, I mean, 2-3 times the amount that it was a year ago. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hitting us. Commissioner, I mean, it may not be, you know, no one's reaching their hand in your pocket and taking a $20 bill out of your wallet, but they're basically doing it the backdoor method, is what they're pulling off, and that can't continue. I mean, that's going to break the middle class eventually. You know, this hot money just can't continue. The housing market's going to reach a point where it's not going to continue. You know, folks, come on, you everybody's right enough to know nothing ever always continuously goes up. We know this. We have to know this. Your thoughts on the housing market, Randy? I mean, it's just on fire. I mean, that's even barely describe it. I mean, it is on fire right now. That can't continue, can it?
Well, I think part of the success in Montana is the United States as a whole looked at the COVID cases in Montana, and we virtually didn't have any. And the cost of living is less than Montana. So I think that people looked at Montana as a place to move to, and I think we're seeing people come in from California, Oregon, Seattle, New York. Part of the success in housing in Montana is we became a very good place to move to. When you look at states, best states to live in, we've been in the top five for a long time. And I think that there is a rush in housing because Montana's just looking great to out-of-staters. And you're right, a sheet of plywood now, I've seen somebody sent me a photograph of a Home Depot. It was out of state. It was $97 a sheet. And we use plywood in campaign signs. And the amount of plywood I have to run in 19 counties, if I sold it all now, I'd pay for my entire campaign. It's just amazing, okay. Folks. How things change.
Okay, so we're here today. Let's get on the topic here that I've got a couple of different slides here, Commissioner, and I'm not sure exactly which one you want me to start on. So we're going to pop them up here, and you let me know if I'm on the right one, and I'll just keep scrolling over. I'm not sure where you wanted to begin.
I think a great place to start is a past public service commissioner, and the reason I'm tackling this with you today, he lives in my district and represented me, Democrat Greg Jorgensen, and he did an article where he said, I've been a commissioner for 8 years. I was the chairman. I served in the legislature for 20-some years. I served on audit, and I know best. And the three commissioners from the past session need to be replaced, one or all three of them. And he wrote a letter to Governor Greg Gianforte explaining how professional he is and all this experience he has. Well, the first problem with Greg is anyone who has this much experience knows you should never make a comment until after the audit hearing takes place. You really need to keep that private and let the people do their job. And I was in a meeting at the Public Service Commission where I was reminded, look, all the commissioners have to remain quiet. Nobody make a comment to the press. I think Tony O'Donnell leaked out a story, but we're really told not to do that. Well, here Greg sends a letter to the governor asking him to consider replacing all three of us before the hearing's over. Then after the hearing is over, it looks like really a very small percentage of people in the Public Service Commission misbehave. Out of 35 or 40 employees, staffers, two. Okay, that's less than 10%. So the whole commission doesn't have problems. It looks like a couple of personnel, one commissioner and one personnel may have made a mistake. And we need to focus the attention on that. But they used Pinocchi as the example to do things right. The Billings Gazette yesterday or today did an article demanding that all three commissioners of last session resign. That includes me. Folks, what we've got here is the Democrats and the press painting a picture that's dishonest and trying to make the situation worse than it really is. And I followed Mr. Jorgensen out in the hall after he testified, and I chewed him out pretty good. I told him he was out of line, and you know he seems to think that he's not. Folks, when the papers are going to say that you're dishonest and you're guilty of fraud, and then they find out after the hearing that you know Pinocchi was the good guy, Greg Jorgensen and the press needs to apologize across the state. But I've got news for you. They're not going to do it. And thousands of people read the papers, and they say, wow, Pinocchi's the bad guy, when the truth was, you know, I did it right. So that's why we're here today, Jim, and that's a good place to start.
No, they're not going to retract. Of course not. Come on. They don't do that. That's not the way that they roll. So you what is actually, can you let us know, just kind of give us a clue, when we talked about a hearing, can you just give us the Cliff Notes version of why there was even a hearing for to catch people up on kind of what's going on? You said, you know, after the hearing was over, what was the purpose of the hearing? Maybe some people may not be clear on that. If you can just give us a general overview.
You bet. What an audit is, and the person who runs the audit division, an audit's important because they want to make sure the individual government offices are not taking money and going to Acapulco, and that they're spending their money correctly. And the audit found some problems with the Public Service Commission. What the audit revealed is Brad Johnson was going on trips and they weren't signed off by other commissioners. If I go on a trip, folks, another commissioner has to sign the approval that I'm doing the work of the Public Service Commission. And one commissioner was taking trips without that signature from a fellow commissioner. The audit also revealed that he had access to the Public Service Commission credit card, which no commissioner is supposed to have. There's explicit rules on that. And that really gives the Public Service Commission a black eye. Now, there was a backdated receipt where Mandy Hinman was, oh my gosh, she committed fraud. She backdated a receipt. Fraud is when there really is no purchase and you take the money and put it in your bank. In this case, somebody bought $185 of sandwiches because we had to work late for the crew. They lost the receipt, and Mandy Hinman, the office gal, desperately was trying to get the money to the person, and she backdated a receipt that was apparently phony. Now, if they would have asked Commissioner Pinocchi what to do, I would have said, look, everybody relax. Just get your credit card statement that shows that you bought the sandwiches, circle the charge, and turn that in as a receipt. That would work fine. But Mandy was just simply trying to get money back to the individual who spent it. And, of course, in the audit hearing, people are saying it's fraud. It is not. And she's wrong to backdate a receipt. And I'm sorry she did that. As a result, she has resigned. And if after working there for years, I think that is a little stiff. But that was her decision, and she made it. And this was brought out in the audit hearing. And, you know, what we'll try to do in the Public Service Commission is make sure we put safeties in place for this sort of thing not to happen again. The new commissioners, Jim Brown from Bozeman and Jennifer Fielder from the Missoula area, had really no part of this audit because it was an audit report on a date before they took office in January. So it really rests on the five commissioners that were there. And I want you to know that Jim Brown and Jennifer Fielder are doing a fantastic job in trying to, you know, get the Public Service Commission in a new healthy place. We're going to put some safeties in place, and we're going to change some blue book policies, and we're going to ensure this sort of thing doesn't happen again.
Some of the troubles right here, Commissioner, they had a closed door meeting and said the session couldn't be released without a court order. And I just want to reiterate, these people are working, getting paid by Montana taxpayers in a building paid for by Montana taxpayers on time. that's being purchased of their time by the Montana taxpayers, that they have a meeting and it's closed door and no one can hear what goes on in there. It sounds kind of odd to me, Commissioner. Do you have any comment on that?
I do. We have to have closed door meetings because sometimes we have to talk about personnel, and we may talk about private issues that really can't be discussed to the public. Sometimes we have to talk about issues dealing with a court case, and if the public was to be able to hear what we were going to do, the person that's our opponent in the court case would know our strategy. So sometimes we absolutely have to have what we call closed door meetings. Sometimes there's an accusation about personnel or a commissioner that's not true. To get to the bottom of the truth, it's a good idea to have a closed door meeting so the accusations don't get out in the public. And then when we find what's really going on, then there's a time to talk about that. In audit, where there's problems, we really need the opportunity to talk to the audit division and say, okay, here's why this may have happened. Let's talk about that before we release anything to the public. That would be a good reason for a closed-door meeting. Then when the facts are all in, we have the open-door meeting and say, here's the results of those closed-door meetings.
See, I would disagree. I would think that you would have a trusted member of the public that is perhaps bonded or otherwise trusted under a non-disclosure agreement, something where they would sit in on these meetings and at least have someone from the public there in the meeting represented, that they didn't go out and, you know, spread the information. Again, they'd be under a non-disclosure agreement and put themselves in great peril if they did so. That may be an option. I know there's nothing we can do about it right here on this show, but I just never liked the idea of secret meetings. You know, your appearance on the show and all that notwithstanding, it wouldn't matter who it would be. I wouldn't dig that. And also, is it true that it violates the public meeting law secured by the Montana Constitution? Do you see that being as an issue or not so much?
Well, for the listeners, keep in mind that the legislature tells us what to do. If the public strongly wants all meetings to be exposed, a good place for everyone to start is the legislature. But I would think the legislature would tell the public this. If we open a meeting that should be closed to the public, we could open ourselves to a lawsuit. Let's say somebody was falsely accused by something, and then the public knows about it in the meeting, and the newspapers take it too far, which they certainly did on this story, and then there's a lawsuit. Who pays for that? You, the ratepayer. So the legislature may say, look, some meetings have to be closed door to work out the issues to prevent a lawsuit. And keep in mind, folks, a lawsuit will be paid for by the ratepayers or the taxpayers. And we have lots of lawsuits to deal with. Roger Koopman has a lawsuit against the Public Service Commission for $2.75 million. And in my opinion, the whole lawsuit is fraudulent. He's trying to take money from you, the ratepayer. We're trying to cut down that amount of lawsuits, and closed-door meetings may help for that. But again, go to the legislative body and, meet with them about saying the law will be changed and all meetings will be open door. Then we could discuss that in committee hearings and hear both sides of the argument. And if the legislature orders us to have open meetings, then that's what we'll do.
Yeah, that was something regarding emails or something, wasn't it? I think I remember something about that. Certainly.
Well, now that's a different subject. Folks, emails are absolutely open to the public anytime you want.
Correct.
Anyone can request emails from a public service commission or phone records, and that certainly happened, and we found improper emails sent by Roger Koopman, and that is a completely different matter. You can't use your state computer for private emails, and Mr. Koopman certainly did that, and he's claiming that's private. You can't have access to that. I'm sorry. Every time you turn on a state computer, it is very clear that any email you send is available to the public. And I think that is a very good law. In fact, I held a hearing that Daniel Zonikoff from Billings asked for emails and for several months he couldn't get them. He called me and said he was considering a lawsuit against us. I held a hearing requesting that email requests be sent out immediately, and the Public Service Commission voted that down 4-1. I was the only one in support of that. And what those commissioners, I guess, are doing is trying to protect those emails, but that's crazy. Your emails are public information. Now, a closed-door meeting to guard privacy until we get to the bottom of the matter or discuss a case. You can imagine, folks, if we were discussing a multi-million-dollar case and we had to have an open-door meeting, the opposition would know everything we were planning. And we couldn't be a very good utility operator if all of our plans were made public, right? So I couldn't do my job as an effective commissioner if in a lawsuit our closed-door meetings were open to the public. The enemy would then know everything in your race could go sky high. So I really think in some cases we have to have those closed-door meetings to do a better job to represent the public.
I can dig it. I can dig that. I can dig that. Again, I just, in general, I'm just not a big fan of that. But I mean, sure. You know, I understand there's exceptions in certain things. You know, if you're in the middle of millions of dollars worth of lawsuits, you know, I mean, you can't just, you got to have some guard, be some sort of a guardian of the folks' of the constituents' money. So I can appreciate that. Call in lines 515-602-9736, 515-602-9736. And we are going to, I think we're a little bit of a lull here, Commissioner. I think we're going to have a couple of months of downtime. And I got to believe that there's going to be some, as soon as Labor Day hits here, what is that? Is that first week of September? I think we're going to have the election season ramping right back up again, more political commercials. I mean, I don't know what your plans are or if you're going to be assisting anybody in their campaigns or anything this year, but I got to believe that in September, it's going to start rolling back up again. Is that what your thought is?
Absolutely. I'm encouraging Derek Skies to start campaigning right now. I'm fully endorsing Derek Skies for Public Service Commission. And I think he's going to do a great job. And I'm encouraging people to consider running for office. We need more good candidates. We need people that really care, want to put their heart and soul in what's going on. I need active candidates that are out there mixing with the public. Today at 1 o'clock, I have a hydroelectric tour in Great Falls that I'll be putting on, and it's full. And I'm going to be trying to schedule another hydroelectric tour in July. Anyone can contact me if you're interested. We take you to a hydroelectric dam or maybe two and show you the difference between an older hydroelectric dam, maybe made back in the 1800s, and one that was made just a few years ago. And I'm really in favor of updating the new turbines because we can be far more efficient. And these tours really educate the people. So I'm busy with that and continue to do those tours. And then I've got a talk coming up in Sydney I'd like to do. I've got another one in Havre planned. I have one in Lewistown planned. I am the most active public service commissioner traveling, giving talks and educating the people.
You know, speaking about that, I think you just returned from South Dakota. Tell us a little bit about that trip down there. I know there was a lot of great folks down there. Ed Griffin, I know that was his event. And for those of you out there that aren't familiar with Ed Griffin and the great work that he does, he wrote the I would suggest it's probably, I don't know, the standard for the Federal Reserve when he wrote Creature from Jekyll Island. Tell us a little bit about that trip down there or out there to South Dakota, if you don't mind, Randy.
Well, certainly want to give Ed Griffin credit. The book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, I encourage everyone to read that book. It is the leading book explaining banking and how the Federal Reserve got started and how it's progressed through time. And I'm absolutely telling you, the Bible's the first book you should read. The second one is A Creature from Jekyll Island. So Ed Griffin puts on the Red Pill event set up after the movie The Matrix. You have the choice of the Red Pill or the Blue Pill. Folks, if you don't care what's going on in government, just take the Blue Pill and go on with your life. If you're concerned about what's going on, you need to take the Red Pill, understand the problems facing our nation. And we put these events on all over the country. And I've been at every red pill event across the United States. And my part is encouraging people to run and talk a little bit about energy. And I had the great pleasure of meeting some individuals representing South Dakota. And we're able to share some ideas on bills that were introduced there, what we can do on working on energy together. And I'm actually trying to set up a couple of those representatives and senators to speak on your show about some things that we need to be doing in Montana that are being done in South Dakota. And I think it was a fantastic event. A lot of people showed up. People are very concerned the direction this country is going, and these red pill events really show us the important issues that are in front of us.
Commissioner, we're going to give out the phone number again one more time and take a quick break. And we come back on the other side. I'd like to talk, if I can, a little bit about the youth that, I'm really encouraged by, I guess they call the Generation Z. That would be, I don't know, from 12 to 20. I really don't know exactly the numbers, but that sort of that range, after the millennials, I guess, whatever the group that is. And I don't pretend to know, stay on top of all that stuff. But you know a group I'm talking about. They seem to be very, very energized and very, very active, and I think they call themselves Generation Freedom or something is what they call themselves now. It's not Generation Z. At any rate, we're going to take a quick commercial break here and come back on the other side. 515-602-9736 is the phone number. Commissioner, give us out any websites or any information that you want to give out to the folks, where you're going to be speaking next, any upcoming engagements that you have, or anything you want to let people know before we take a quick break here.
Well, we're doing a tour of the hydroelectric facilities. If there's some folks out there interested in that, you give me a call and we can set up a tour. We're right now doing 10 to 11 people. I think once COVID settles down, we might be able to get the tours up to 20 or 30. Just reach me on my phone, which is 406-231-3649. Any questions about anything, call me at that number. That is my private cell phone number, so we're not using up Public Service Commission cell time. I encourage people to call me on my private cell phone. We talk about anything. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. But tell us a little quick about the dam. That's interesting. You know, I did when I was younger, just a side note, when I was, it must have been really like maybe in junior high school, we went to a tour on the local, it was a wastewater treatment facility not very far from where we were at, where they would take the wastewater and clean it and, you know, dispose of it and everything. And I went through the whole plant and everything like that. It was amazing. Tell us a little bit, if you can, about the hydroelectric tour, because, I mean, that type of stuff is just interesting to me, and it may be to other folks. Give us a little overview of that, if you don't mind, and then we'll go to a quick break.
Well, here's the important thing for the listeners. Montana does not produce enough energy to meet its needs, which means we have to import power. So I am trying to educate the people of the importance of that issue. And when we bring electricity into the state, sometimes we pay a lot more, maybe 10 times more than we can produce it. We have dams that have no turbines. I'm trying to educate people that we need to have more energy in Montana and the importance of hydroelectric dams. So that's one of the reasons why I present the tour as much as I can.
Excellent. Okay, we'll take a quick commercial break. Come back on the other side. We'll talk about talking about what's going on with the youth here and other things with Commissioner, Public Service Commissioner Randy Pinocci. If you want to call in, 515-602-9736. And I hope I gave out the right Zoom link. I think I had a couple people going to be calling in. But we'll see after the break. We'll see what happens. Again, 515-602-9736. This is Montana Gazette Radio, montanagazetteradio.com, montanagazetteradio.com. And it looks like tentatively we're going to be going AM and FM on the 21st of June, and we'll be giving out much more information about that as we get closer to that time. We'll be back after these brief messages here on the broadcast. If you like classic cars, exceptional service, and a money-back guarantee, then the Corner Shop in beautiful downtown Kalispell is the place for you. Whether it's an oil change, engine diagnostic, suspension work, or brakes all around, the Corner Shop has you covered. With expert technicians and a free consultation on all services, you can't go wrong with the Corner Shop. Did I mention the classic cars? While you're waiting for your expert service to be performed, take a stroll through the showroom to see Kalispell's smoothest collection of classic cars. The Corner Shop is conveniently located at 1212 South Main, just south of the courthouse. The Corner Shop is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., so drop by for an appointment or call 755-7777. That's 755-7777. The Corner Shop, Kalispell's full service auto repair facility. Okay, folks, you know, the Corner Shop has been a long time supporter here of this broadcast. And if you want expert professional car repair service, you should visit Dan Korn and his great staff down there at the Corner Shop. If you're familiar with the Kalispell area, you sort of go to the City Hall around the loop there, and right on the right-hand side with all those really nice old cars is the Corner Shop there. Dan Korn, as I said, and his staff does a great job. And support them because they support us, and we do appreciate that. 755-7777. Okay, we are going to be going back here to Commissioner Randy Panucci. If you want to visit the number one online news website in Montana, you can go to MontanaDailyGazette.com. That's MontanaDailyGazette.com. It's only been in existence not much more than a year, and I know it's already been published all across in a wide variety of publications across the country. And we're growing strong, and it's because we put the truth out. That's right, not because we're pretty, not because we have the best voice, not because we have the best internet connection. It's because we put out the truth. We just put out the truth. Are we perfect? No. Are we going to get it wrong occasionally? We're human. But we do our absolute 100% best all the time to put out the truth as best that we know it at the time. And I think that's why we're growing and continuing to be successful and really blowing away all the other online news websites in Montana, and we're glad to say that. Person that's been on the show and has helped make that happen numerous times is Commissioner Randy Panucci, and that we're going to bring him back here on the show. We're always delighted to have Commissioner Panucci here. Commissioner, I'm going to go ahead and hit the mute button. There you go. Okay, so as I was saying before the break here, what we're noticing is, the youth, I mean, that age group, that wheelhouse between, I don't know, 12 and 22 or 24 or whatever it is, those 12 or 15 year, block of age for the youth, man, I'm telling you, they're really energized. They're putting together events. They're like active. They're vocal. What do you think about this, Randy? I mean, you had to notice this. I know that you and I are a couple of old dudes, but I mean, they're way younger than us. But have you noticed that age group has really, really become energized and is really dedicated to, I think, you know, bringing liberty back to this country? Any thoughts on that?
Wow, there's so much to talk about there. I think a good place for me to start is I have three children. They're in college, and I've got one out of college right now. And it seems like you're really looking at the Democrat side of things while you're in school, you're paying for college and you're looking for grants, you're looking for money handouts. But then after you get a good job and you see how much taxes you're paying, some of those college students then start turning into Republicans, and they're not too excited about handing out their money for programs they may not agree with or we don't need. But I'm seeing some real excitement with the younger people, concerned about our liberties and freedoms, and they should be, because we seem to be losing them, folks. It's absolutely a fact. We have to really guard our freedoms. I think COVID-19 has woke a lot of people up. For government to come in and say, you will not be open, you cannot have your business open, I think was a tremendous mistake. Folks, in a free country, if a business wants to stay open, that's up to them. If they don't have any customers, that's their problem. But you can't tell them they can't be open. And a business owner should decide, look, I want masks in my business, or I don't want masks, or I'll leave it up to the people. They can wear them, or they don't have to wear them. I think that's up to the business owner. You know, when we passed the law that said you couldn't smoke in a bar, I was against that. I've never smoked in my life. But if a bar wants to be non-smoking, I think that's their business. And if a bar wants to say this is a smoking bar, I think it's their business. Once you lose a right to do something, it's very difficult to get that right back, okay? I hope we learned something with COVID, and I think a lot of young people were really experiencing the moment as we saw all these COVID restrictions. At the end of the day, I hope we make improvements on how we handle a situation in the future like this. And I'm thinking some of this excitement has to do with that. What do you think, Jim? Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole thing is generally was a fraud. Now, you know, in a sense of, you wonder why there was so many COVID cases, but the flu case has almost dropped off to nothing. I mean, they almost, you know, it cured it. It cured it. So I think the whole thing, Randy, and, you know, government, and, you know, you've been on my show before. We've talked privately. I'm probably a little bit more radical than you are about these things, but I'm not a big fan of government. I think government is, you know, basically, in some sense, organized crime, and they really have went way far away from the mandate that our founding fathers had put in place for them. So, you know, and the reason it is because people are just, they're lazy. They're lazy. They're placated with baubles and, you know, distracted by different, you know, by MTV and American Idol and sports. So we need to really have, you know, we really, I think, need to have a resurgence of what liberty, you know, means in this country. And the only way we're only going to, you know, like you just stated, Randy, you brought up a great point. People don't, they're liberals when they're in college, but when they come out and have to start paying taxes, they become, you know, conservatives. When people start, and the tyranny starts really, really gripping tighter and tighter on people, they'll get it finally. But sadly, we're flawed in the sense where it takes almost to the point where we're destroyed or really have to put up with a lot of pain before we get really, you know, before we get it. Yeah, I guess I want to say. Anyway, I probably went way off on the point by that, but you asked me. So yeah,
that's a great answer. And let's look at another issue that's very controversial right now, where a transgender boy in high school wants to play on the girls' track team, and all of a sudden he breaks all the school records. Now, when you're in high school, you think, well, that's great. He's fighting for what he wants. But here's where it gets interesting. When you get married and you have your own children, and say your daughter holds the track record, you know, in the 100-yard dash, and then a boy who wants to be a girl beats her, your opinion is going to change very quickly that you had in high school, because that's your daughter that got pushed off the board. Furthermore, your daughter may be the top basketball player, and a boy who thinks he's a girl gets on the girls' basketball team, and your daughter now doesn't get the scholarship, but the boy who's dressing as a girl does. I'm telling you, folks, your opinion is going to change very quickly when that's your daughter. It's amazing how when you're young, your opinion can be very different when you get married, have your own children, pay taxes. And that's the part that's so frustrating. Now, the Democrat Party is trying to get the voting age reduced to 17 or 16 because they know they're going to vote Democrat. Where if I said you can't vote until after you're out of college, we would gain more Republicans. And folks, I'm right. If any of you, you know, were to argue with me, that would be silly because this point I'm making is very clear. So that the message to young people is what may be important to you now will be radically different after you get married and have a job. That's the best way I can explain it.
Oh, I tend to agree with you fully. So what we have here is, you know, we both fought hard with the internet censorship bill. There was a couple of legislators that put together a bill, a few good bills. And we had, of course, our good friend Martin Lynch was helping us out, kind of putting some of that stuff together, the framework of that. And it didn't get it through committee. I actually testified for it. Commissioner, we have to make another push. I'm hoping in the 2022 we got to make another push to stop this tech censorship, because it's destroying conservative ideas, conservative thoughts. You know, again, I'm not whining, but all my years of work on YouTube and thousands of hours of video work that I did, and the millions of views I had are all gone, all just taken down. That is sort of, you know, that's a borderline criminal. I mean, to ruin someone's sort of livelihood and take away their product, really. What's your thoughts on that, Commissioner? Are we going to bring that back one more time and try to get that censorship bill put through this next round? At least, is that your thoughts?
I'm promising you, Jim, and the listeners, I will never give up on that fight as long as I'm active and alive. And here's what's hilarious: the Billings paper is asking me to step down and resign when the audit report shows that I did it right. On top of that, I'm trying to lead the nation in regulating social media by passing a law in Montana that I want the rest of the United States to follow. And here's what the bill did. We've got social media doing discrimination. And my bill says, look, if you're going to do that, I can fine you 1% of your gross income, which would have meant like $50 million for Facebook. That would be split between the Montana General Fund and the person making the complaint. And then the opposition, a few rhinos joining the Democrats, brought up the point that they're concerned about the fiscal responsibility of the taxpayers of Montana. Either Lou Jones was lying or he's too stupid to know what really happened. The taxpayers don't pay for the public service. The utilities do, which means the social media would have had to pay the Public Service Commission to regulate social media, which would have brought more money into the state. At the same time, I wouldn't stop discrimination. Folks, if I'm trying to lead the whole country, while I turned out to be the good guy in the audit report, and yesterday's paper says I should resign, we've got real problems with honesty at the Billings paper.
Well, maybe
at the same time, this is a fantastic answer to regulating the problems with social media. Make no mistake, folks, social media is unfairly discriminating against certain classes of people or the Republican Party or Christians. There's no question about it. It's happening all over the country and even in other parts of the world. We've got to act.
Well, apparently, Pinocchio, it's going to take you to rescue a baby out of a burning high-rise before they're going to actually probably lay off you. Maybe then they wouldn't even do it then. We have we had a caller that's coming in here that has called in on the line. It is a Montana number, so I'm going to bring the caller in. And I probably don't have to say this to this group, but I have to make the disclaimer. If you're going to call in, no problem. You don't have to agree with myself or my guest. Just be respectful and don't be vulgar. It's not that kind of show. Other than that, pretty much say whatever you like. Let's bring this caller in. Caller, I know you're from Montana. Please state what city you're calling from and your first name.
Hi, Jim. It's Teresa Manzella, and I'm calling you from Hamilton, Montana.
Hey, Teresa Manzella, our friend Teresa Manzella from Hamilton. Teresa, it's always great to have you here, and we're here with our friend Randy Pinocchi. Thanks so much for calling in.
You bet. You bet. I'm so glad that you have Randy on your show. And, you know, he is a phenomenal freedom fighter, and he is always, always working very, very hard on behalf of the people. And, you know, your listeners are savvy. They know that the media is owned by the Liberal Democrat and that they're in cahoots with the government. And now they've roped in social media as well to try to restrict our conservative voices. And I'm just so thankful for you and what you do, Jim, and also for Randy and for his stand. And, you know, people need to quit jumping to conclusions. They need to quit trying to try people in the media. And they need to recognize that that is the game, that is a tactic, a very successful tactic of the left. And I just believe that your listeners are savvy enough to recognize that. So anyway, I just want to express my support for Commissioner Pinocchi. You know, he's always working hard on behalf of the people. He's got more guts and more fight, and he's absolutely fearless. And I just want to express my appreciation for him.
Well, Teresa, we certainly do appreciate you and all that you've done as well. And, you're no slouch yourself, I guess, is probably the way to put it. You've done great work. And we're delighted that – I mean, I'm telling you, I'm delighted that we have such great legislators here. And you guys have done a great job. And we're joined here by Jordan Hall, I see. Jordan Hall has joined us. Jordan, publisher of Montana Daily Gazette and many other publications, and a prolific writer, of course. Jordan, thanks for joining us here in the broadcast with Commissioner Pinocchi, and we have Teresa Manzella on with us as well.
Yeah, great to be here. Sorry I'm not in the studio today. We had a tornado go through Sydney and take out power all over town. A tree took out part of my back the back of my house, you know, my backyard. So hopefully maybe Randy can help with this. We need our power back on in eastern Montana, but I'm glad to join you, Jim.
That's good stuff. Well, that's pretty odd in itself, is having a tornado in Montana. I mean, those are you know, but like seeing a unicorn. I mean, yeah, it's almost how they ever exist.
Well, Democrats think that we can legislate absolutely everything. So if Teresa could get on the ball and just pass a law against tornadoes, I'm sure that this should work. If we can legislate climate change, we should be able to stop tornadoes by the power of legislation.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Jordan, I want you to, if you could comment on Greg Jorgensen. That's kind of what we had, and Teresa, certainly you can as well.
Yeah.
We had Greg. Go ahead.
I just had a few minutes to speak on that, and I'm familiar with Jorgensen. I want people to understand what's happening here and to get the big picture, like a 30,000-foot view of what's happening. We have the Public Service Commission, which is the smallest and most efficient run and also most conservative department in state government, bar none, mark it down. Not only do we have Randy Pinoche, but Jennifer Fielder, and all five of them Republicans. And so an audit revealed what audits usually reveal. That's why you do audits, which is a couple of things could have been done better. Let me put it this way. What Debbie Westlake has revealed is that the Montana Department of DPHHS wastes more money by the hour than what has been revealed in the PSC, thankfully. And everyone needs to know this. And the newspapers, of course, did not report it because they work for the other team. Randy Pinoche came out smelling like roses out of that deal. And by the way, so did most in the PSC. What you have happen here is you have Roger Koopman, bless his heart, he has a good pass behind him, but he has an axe to grind with the PSC. And then you have Jorgensen, who wants, I think, to run for PSC now that he can, or perhaps another office who wants to rush in as the guy capitalizing on the controversy of the day for political purposes. There are Republicans, whether it's Senator Kerry or whoever else, who would like to see the PSC handed over to the governor or regulated by the governor's office. I'll remind you, we just had 15 years of a Democratic governor. If you want to hand over the most effective, smallest, most efficient, and one of the most important departments of state government over to who might next time be a Democrat, I think you're out of your ever-loving mind. And by the way, let me say, one of the reasons I appreciate the PSC is because all the commissioners, I can pick up the phone, I can call, and they'll answer their phone. They'll answer their texts. Try doing that with the governor's office sometime. Try getting Greg Gianforte to respond to your text. Now, I'm not blaming him. He's the governor, right? I mean, he's the governor. I don't mean to personally impugn him, but I want people who I can directly elect and directly get on the phone when I'm having problems. And so this is being this relatively non-controversy. I mean, there are obviously some things. There should be a few hand slaps, say with Brad Johnson, for example. He needs his hand slapped. But there's a way to do that without impugning the entire Public Service Commission. That's what I wanted to come on and say. From my perspective, outside looking in, this is a political matter, not a fiscal one.
I think well put. I don't know how long you have, Jordan, but you can dump on any time. Teresa, do you care to follow up with that? Do you have any sentiments that you want to share about that situation?
No, I think Jordan did a fantastic job of expressing it, and he's totally accurate on everything that he said. And again, we are fortunate to be in Montana and have the Montana Daily Gazette and your radio show program that is out there on the front lines telling the truth, and the truth resonates with people. And that's why you guys have been so successful, because people are getting it, and people are waking up at an alarming, wonderful rate of speed. And I'm extremely, extremely thankful for that. People aren't nearly as uneducated and uninformed as the left and many of the rhinos would like us to believe. And the truth resonates with people. So, Pinoche's telling the truth.
Teresa, I appreciate Teresa's words, and I very much admire Teresa, but I believe that you dance around the issue like a typical politician when it comes to ending tornadoes and climate change. Is there anything that you can perhaps legislate more rainbows? I don't know. I'm, of course, I jest. But Teresa is awesome at what she does. And let me just say this about Randy, too. I looked at those reports. Jim, I'm sure you've seen the reports. Teresa, you've seen the reports. Randy's expenditures, P's, he dot the I's. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. And here's the ironic part. The guy who has been investigated more by Democrat inquisitions over the years for spending has been Randy Pinocchi. More than anybody, they've looked at him under a microscope because they realize how conservative he is. And he's the one that came out smelling like roses. That's where he needs to be told, because we should always value integrity as conservatives. And Randy Pinocchi has integrity.
And he's learned. He's learned from those audits and being put under a microscope that he absolutely has to be beyond reproach, because they are gunning for him. They're gunning for all of us. We know it. So we have to do our absolute best to play by their rules, whether or not they're fair or not. And a lot of times they're not.
Teresa, does it strike you as odd that there is a level of introspection being given to the Public Service Commission that is altogether different than the introspection that's being allowed of the legislature upon the Montana Supreme Court? I mean, the PSC is a regulatory body. Randy is a regulatory judge. We have access to his emails. We have access to his spending. We have access to his entire life. And yet the Montana Supreme Court is telling legislators that they have no business accessing any of that. That ought to be a part of this story too. You know, the PSC are regulatory judges, but because we believe in checks and balances, we can find out how Randy is conducting business. We should be able to do that with the Montana Supreme Court.
There's been a big, I think the Montana Supreme Court just sided with the legislature. Teresa, I know you put out a Facebook post on that. That was great news. You want to just touch on that real quick?
Well, they determined that Senate Bill 140, allowing Greg Gianforte to pick and confirm the judges, is constitutional. And I'll tell you what, that was a pleasant surprise to me. I didn't expect them to come up with that ruling. It's entirely possible that because of the spotlight that we've shined on them, that had an influence on that decision. But yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled with that decision. That's huge for us. That's a huge, huge win for the citizens and for the legislature and for the governor and for conservatism. So that's great.
And it is a rare day, but it's always a good day in Montana when the Supreme Court finds the Constitution to be constitutional.
Absolutely.
Indeed. You know, JD, this harkens back to what the press was originally designed for, I think, is to sort of be the fourth estate and keep an eye on those quote-unquote leaders to make sure that they keep in line. And this sort of is what the Montana Daily Gazette is. I think really this is one example of what we're starting to kind of do is keep the powers that be, you know, hold them accountable. Do you see that sort of as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And see, there's so much stuff that goes on in Helena like this, for example. And the only place that people find out about this is from some hack journalists like Tom Lutie over at the Billings Gazette. And so what we found is the more people know what's going on and they're paying attention, they're going, this is messed up. Montana's a big state. So many people live so far away from Helena that they almost, you know, they don't know. And because they don't know, they don't care. But if they knew, they would care. And that's, by the way, and I've got to get back to what I was doing, and I'll have to let you go. But that's one of the reasons why I appreciate Randy so much, and frankly, all of the public service commissioners. the only people besides Randy and the PSC who can tell you how big our state is and how hard it is to get people to communicate and how difficult it is to get us to unify would be somebody like Matt Rosendale in a statewide office. These guys have to try. I mean, Randy's district, District 1, is just, I mean, it goes from Great Falls all the way to Sydney. It's so big. It's hard to get everybody on the same page in Montana. So the way we have to do that is through the God-given power of technology and through the internet to get us all on the same page, because the Democrats are very well organized, but we Republicans need to at least, at the very least, communicate effectively about what's happening, even when it comes to how the sausage is being made, so to speak, in Helena, in matters that ordinarily we wouldn't care about.
Great stuff, J.D. Hall. Thanks so much for joining us here. I know you got a split.
Sure.
We'll be in touch. Have a safe time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yep. Thanks. We'll talk to you guys later.
Take care.
Thanks, Jordan.
Okay, there goes Jordan Hall. We have another call coming in. I don't know, Teresa, if you want to hang around. We have another call on the line. Do you want to – you guys want to just take that call? Teresa, you're certainly welcome to hang here. I'm just going to bring the call in.
I'll stay with you for a few more minutes.
Okay.
And then I got to roll too.
Okay. Let's bring the caller. Caller, you're live on the air here with Teresa Manzella, Randy Panocci, and myself, Jim White, here from Montana Gazette Radio. Thanks for joining us. Please state your first name and what city you're calling from.
Yes, good morning. This is Douglas Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T. I'm glad to say I'm a personal friend of Randy's. I live up here on the High Line, east of Havre, in a rural community called Harlem. I'm a retired wheat farmer, but I also have international business interests. And I appreciate your show. I don't often get to plug into it here, but I wanted Randy, I know your organization, your radio show and the paper is very well aware of what Dr. Shiva brought out even before attending Red Pill as a speaker. I wasn't able to go. I'd like Randy to touch on, there's a lot of support, background support in Dr. Shiva's lawsuit that's occurring in Massachusetts, and I'd like Randy to touch on that. I'm personally holding here, I printed out the Election Influence Operations Playbook, Part 1 and Part 2, that Dr. Shiva referred to in his court case that was so alarming to the federal judge involved that it actually moved forward in him recommending a constitutional lawyer be provided by the court to Dr. Shiva. We have a partnership between these state governments, not just Massachusetts, but between the state governments and Twitter. More recently now, we can see the government partnership with Facebook as it relates to that criminal Dr. Fauci. So I'd like your gentleman and your caller, I'd like Randy to comment on this, and the more people we can get aware of it, I know you. There's been articles written by your organization.
Go ahead, Randy.
I would like to ask you to give us a little more details on this lawsuit. I'm not as up to speed as I'd like to be. I visited with him a bit, but tell us about the groundwork on that lawsuit, please.
Well, there is a wonderful, he's still on YouTube. It's surprising, isn't it, Dr. Shiva? There's a wonderful interview that he did do, and I believe that if not Mr. White, the other gentleman that was just on was a part of that interview, and the gentleman that runs Red Pill. So if you look up Dr. Shiva under YouTube, you'll find about an hour or more interview where he goes into it in detail. But you may recall that Dr. Shiva, when he ran a couple different times for Senate, the second time when he ran, he basically, where there was a hand count, he won. But in the areas where everything was done electronic, the pattern, he lost big time. And it caused him, as a pattern analysis, he's got 4 degrees from MIT, to look into what was happening on these patterns. And he discovered that the voting machines, the electronic machines, are able to be set so it's a fractional vote. The manuals even describe it. And you may recall he actually gave testimony via Zoom when Giuliani and some of our people were in Arizona at these various hearings on looking at elections. And he discovered his vote was worth less than one, and the opposing votes were worth more than one. And that's how they took the election from him. He filed suit on that. And then as he got more involved, had to represent himself, as he got more involved, he discovered this public partnership between the Massachusetts and Twitter, because when he brought out emails that he was getting back from the state secretary and elections people, and he put them on Twitter and made them look in a bad light, the emails exposed to what they were really up to, they suspended him from Twitter. And so it caused him to even look into this more. He discovered an actual partnership between the government of Massachusetts and Twitter, of which they caused Twitter to suspend him, not Twitter on their own. It's very powerful. And his is the only lawsuit that's actually ever got into the courts. You remember, we all recall that all of this stuff we went through with Giuliani and his group never made it into the court. You know, the evidence was there, but nobody wanted to listen to it. But anyway, his big issue is the machines themselves and how they're set. And he's in that process. He's discovered there is a partnership between the government and Twitter, and it's in writing, and there's documentation of it. And it's called the Election Influence Operations Playbook, Part 1 and Part 2. And I actually printed them out and began to read through them, because he references in his interview that he did with the gentleman that runs Red Pill.
No, Douglas, he's Douglas, right? I don't know if you saw the Twitter interview with Jack Dorsey. Actually, it was, I think, James O'Keefe, who does a great job over there at his Project Veritas. When he had on the Zoom call, I think it was a Zoom call with Twitter executive Jack Dorsey that he recorded, where Dorsey came right out and said, They influenced the election. I mean, he basically admitted to election rigging, pretty much. And, of course, here's the problem, folks. Where's the justice arm of things, right? We don't need any more information to prove they're criminals. There's a voluminous amount of it. Who's going to bring them to justice, though? Who's going to apprehend them and bring them to justice? That's where we're at right now, that we have to get.
And I appreciate that, but remember, and more of our people in the Republican Party, and especially we've got to contend always with these rhinos, which obviously Randy is not. I really appreciate he's got Trump characteristics. He says it like it is. People need to be aware that there is a living suit that's actually in federal court that establishes this. It's not just talk. We all know there's a volume of circumstantial evidence, but there's actual proof in the Massachusetts courts. It's the only lawsuit that's really made it into the federal courts. And of course, this is separate from Mr. Lindell and all that wonderful work he's done in his documentary. And there's so many different levels of issues of what happened in the election. But these machines are critical. And I don't know what some of these Republicans were thinking in the legislature as far as censorship. I'm always concerned, and I think we need to recognize that as far as the electronic setting on these voting machines nationwide, and specifically in the five states that we had to deal with where there's real questions, is that we have Republicans who have benefited in the past by these machine settings. And I think this is one of the issues why even the RNC does not want to touch this issue of Dr. Shiva's lawsuit. This is critical to winning the next election, is the setting on these machines.
Doug, you break up a good, go ahead, Teresa. I was just going to ask your turn.
Oh, yes. No, everything the gentleman has just said is absolutely accurate, and I appreciate him being able to use his recall so effectively on that. Dr. Shiva is asking that every American donate $1 to support his case, just $1. And he is fighting for us and for the First Amendment. And it does seem that he does have a sympathetic judge on his side supporting him. So I would encourage people to go and do that. And I believe if I'm not mistaken, where you would donate, you would look up VA Shiva, if I'm not mistaken. And
I think the exact site, I think, is Win Back America. Isn't that the exact site you go to? And I'll take you to VA Shiva. I have contributed to that.
Okay. And I have too. And it might be Win Back America. I don't know. But try either one of those, Win Back America or VA Shiva, and it will take you to his site. And he is a brilliant man, and he is from India. You might be led to believe that he has a different belief system than ours, but he does not. He absolutely believes that there's a God because of the fact that he was able to find those manuals the night before his case, the night before he went into federal
yes.
court and found those manuals. And he just believes that he is being helped, divinely inspired and assisted through this process. And I mean, it's just amazing to think how they have silenced our voice and called it disinformation and misinformation. And then in addition, I mean, it was the Montana Daily Gazette that helped break that story. And there's an article in Time magazine that's titled The Secret Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election. And in
yeah.
that article, it's pretty lengthy, but they talk about the leader of the labor unions, of the AFL-CIO, conspiring with the leaders of the United States Chamber of Commerce, who you would normally think would be the good guys, the business people, but not in this. And then they eventually got around to conspiring with the CEOs of Facebook and Twitter, and they hatched this plan to stop the conservative voice, basically. And they called it disinformation and misinformation. So they're just, you know, they're right. just shutting down one side of the argument completely is what it amounts to. So
all these terms, ma'am, are in these two playbooks of exactly the terminology, what they look for. And what was alarming about this, you know, we've learned a lot of things from Dr. Shiva. And isn't there a national association of state election commissions? I mean, isn't our Secretary of State, formerly, of course, we have Democrats. But this is a national organization that is a part of this at the state level. Everybody, I mean, even Montana is a partner to these things. A lot of people aren't aware of this. I was shocked. This isn't just Massachusetts, one state by itself. This is a national organization that was a part of forming these documents.
Well, Teresa, you're right about that. Actually, the website is, and I have it on the screen right now, it's vashiva.com. So it's all together,
yeah.
vashiva.com. And yeah. it looks like it's First Amendment Twitter lawsuit, Dr. Shiva's historic First Amendment lawsuit, Win Back Freedom. First case in the United States to show the government made Twitter silence political speech. So the government made Twitter silence it. And we've talked about that here just actually before both of you, before the callers came in, we talked to Commissioner Pinocchio. That was the last question I think we asked about the tech censorship, the big tech censorship. Hopefully, this is going to be
Randy's
more.
Randy's on top of this. Randy's
yeah.
really be commended for his work on this.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Well, folks, we're over time, actually. Doug, I'm going to thank you for calling in, and we appreciate you calling
thank
in.
You.
And
thank you.
Thanks for being a listener.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you very much.
And, Doug, please call back again. And, so, Teresa, you're still here, and we do appreciate you calling in, too. Is there anything that you want to say, Teresa, in closing comments? Go ahead.
No, I just appreciate you holding the show, and I appreciate your support of Randy Pinocchi and Jim Brown and Jennifer Fielder. I believe that they are all three freedom fighters, honest freedom fighters. We need them to stay in their positions. They were willing to take on big tech, and I applaud them for that. We just made a tremendous amount of strides being able to use social media to bypass the liberal media, and now they're trying to take that voice away from us. So it's imperative
that's
that
right.
we stay in that fight and win.
That's right. Well put.
God bless
you, Teresa.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for all you do. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Teresa.
Okay.
Thanks, Teresa. Thanks.
Okay, you're
thank
welcome.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, that was great. Great commentary, Commissioner. Excellent. Great people calling in. Had some great comments, and it was, I think, another wonderful show. Thanks so much for being here. I'm going to give you the opportunity, of course, to say anything you'd like to say or give out any websites that you'd like to give out or you talked about tell people again about the hydroelectric dam tour you got going on, and you can certainly feel free to give out your phone number or any emails that you have. I'll turn it over to you.
Well, sure would like to thank Douglas for calling in. And the listeners need to understand that Twitter is in a real concern here because they're now proven to be working with our elections. While the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, And if you have time, you can play that recording. It says to his staff, we have to roll up our sleeves and continue to discriminate against Republicans. And he takes credit for President Trump losing the election. If I could have got my bill passed to regulate social media, I'd be making national news right now, going after Twitter, where they should have no connection to elections whatsoever, while Shiva was able to prove that they do. At the same time, we have a recording where the CEO of Twitter wants to discriminate against Republicans. This is your country, people. This is your government, and you get the government you deserve. Anyone who voted against my bill on social media, the Democrats and a few handful of Republicans, you need to replace so I can get this passed right away. In fact, if we go into a special session for any reason, we need to bring my bill back in the special session. And it's up to you folks to find out who voted against that social media bill. You know, in another show, we could put a list of people up that voted against it. We should play the Jack Dorsey recording. The connection that Twitter is involved with elections that Dr. Shiva was able to prove, while at the same time they're admitting discrimination against Republicans. Folks, I haven't seen anything like this in my lifetime. This is the worst case of discrimination in my lifetime. We all know that years ago, African-Americans had to ride in the back of the bus. Jack Dorsey is saying Republicans can't ride the bus at all. This is very serious, folks, and we got to take our country back. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, right on. Well put. I'm here trying to do the same thing from my end. We have different roles, of course, but I think our objective is the same thing, same objective, and that's to, you know, leave a world for our children that's worth living in, for crying out loud. If it continues to go down this path, man, it's not going to be good for any of us. Commissioner Pinocchi, thanks so much for joining. It's always great to have you here on the broadcast. Thanks for bringing the information you brought here and clearing some of that stuff up about some of the things that are going around, the letters to Governor Gianforte, and these people just never quit. They just never quit. So thanks so much for being here. And, of course, we're always welcome, delighted to have you back on the show anytime. And is there anything else you want to say before we let you go, or have you said what you need to say? We're good?
But anyone need to call me? My phone number, personal cell phone, 406-231-3649. I encourage people to stop advertising with the Billings newspaper. Advertise with someone you can trust, like Montana Daily Gazette. We need to ban the press outlets that are just simply being dishonest and slinging mud, where they're lying on purpose. And folks, we got to get more active. Thank
well,
you.
Well, I'm going to say publicly right here, Commissioner, right here on the line, if you're a conservative in the Montana legislature, don't even talk to these papers. Call. We have a hotline for Montana Daily Gazette. You can call. We don't have the staff that they have at Billings Gazette, but we'll put the truth out. That's, you can guarantee you that. We may not get it out in an hour, but we'll get it out, and it'll be out in it'll be the truth. So call us. Don't call them. That's what I say. Anyway, Commissioner, that's just my thoughts on things. I appreciate you letting me rant. Thanks. Take your time to rant.
I've banned them. If they call me, I refuse to talk to them. If you're going to lie on purpose, you're banned. I've banned the Billings newspaper and the Haver newspaper, both.
Commissioner Pinocchi, always great to have you here, my friend. We'll talk soon. God bless you.
Thanks
have a
very
good day.
Much.
Enjoy your tour today. I may sign up for one of those, man. I kind of dig that stuff. I really do. Maybe I'll head out to Great Falls and spend a day out there and have you take me on a tour. Well, with your other group, not just personally, but I mean, I'll join your group and go on one of these tours.
Right. Let's try to set up a James White hydroelectric tour and have our listeners meet us up in Great Falls. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And I promise you, folks, it's an incredible tour.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do a little tour, have a lunch, and maybe I will call some of the listeners together and go up there and have a day. It'd be nice. Time to do it. It's coming up. It's summer. Might as well do it. All right, Commissioner,
yeah,
thanks so much.
Let's make it happen.
That's
all
it.
Right. Thanks.
All right, brother. Take care, man. Thanks for being here.
All right, bye.
Bye now. Okay, there goes the microphone off. I hit the wrong button. There's Commissioner Randy Pinocchi. Always great to have him on the broadcast. I do appreciate the callers calling in and the people called in on the Zoom. We are going to be, here this next week. I'm not sure how much broadcast I'm going to be doing next week because we're going to be kicking off, I believe, the FM and AM and FM on the 21st. So next week is going to be, I'm going to have a lot of prep work to get done. There's going to be a new show opening, a new show clock. will probably no longer be on Blog Talk Radio. It will probably be in another separate phone system. That's the same number for all the shows on the network. We haven't got that yet. Pardon me, but I think we'll be able to do that pretty soon. So some of the things are going to change, and some things are going to be better. So we do appreciate you you sticking with us here, and all the updates and everything that we have going on, all the changes and anything, any different stations or any different broadcasts, it's all going to be on Montana Daily Gazette. So you can go to MontanaDailyGazette.com, MontanaDailyGazette.com, or MontanaGazetteRadio.com, and that links you right to the radio page where you can hear all the latest show, pretty much, and then the latest video. You can see it there. So thanks so much for looking in here. Appreciate you. Appreciate Commissioner Panucci. Appreciate Teresa Manzella. Appreciate Jordan Hall. And appreciate Doug calling in. Thanks so much. Again, you want to support us, MontanaGazetteRadio.com, MontanaGazetteRadio.com. Until next time, this is James White for Montana Gazette Radio. Saying bye now.